Welcome to the Pint and Click podcast. I'm Dave. I'm here with Joel and Tony, and we're here to discuss movies today. There's a lot of good movies that are on the shelf now. If you don't like waiting for holds, or you put something on hold and you weren't sure if it's going to come in or not, well, guess what? You can come to the Des Plaines Library today, and one of these movies will probably be on the shelf. Movies like Lion and Arrival, Loving, Hacksaw Ridge, Fences, Hidden Figures. I've seen these movies every day I've been here. So if you want to check out any of those movies or the couple we're going to discuss, why not come in and take a look, see what's available now? You don't need to put your name on a list, probably, and you'll have plenty to choose from our huge movie selection. But today we're going to talk about two of those movies that are on the shelf pretty much every day now, available for checkout, and that's Get Out and Moonlight. So let's start with Get Out. Get Out is a horror movie from Jordan Peele, who's made his career as a comedian. This is his directorial debut, and he made a fantastic movie, which made a lot of money for a rated R horror movie. I think it's pretty great. And so we'll talk about the premise. We'll keep it kind of vague because we don't want to spoil anything for you. There's a lot of great surprises in this movie, as there are in pretty much any horror movie. But it's about a young black man and his white girlfriend, and he's going to meet her parents for the first time. And there's a little bit of anxiety there. They don't know that he's black. It's a little bit of guess who's coming to dinner, but with a modern take and modern implications. So, guys, what did you think of Get Out?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I mean, it has some pretty like unique storytelling, and that it didn't sacrifice like telling an awesome, interesting story by trying to drill home a message or anything. So it had a lot of twists and turns, which is why we don't want to spoil anything. And the tension was there, but it also was really funny. I mean, some of the jokes are the kind of, things where it's uncomfortable, so you're laughing, or maybe some of the humor is just, this is an insane situation, so I'm laughing. And they do a really good job portraying that and portraying the characters' reactions to, as they unravel a mystery, how crazy it sounds and how crazy it is. And it's great at being along for the ride with that. And then even setting up the initial tension, I think there's like some actually pretty decent chemistry between the guy and his girlfriend. So it's, it's like it's an interesting film that really like toys with your expectations, but it also, it gives you a lot of reason to buy in really fast too. So
yeah, there were a lot of squirm-worthy moments throughout the film. And I was reflecting on why they were squirm-worthy, and it's just because they're so true. Yeah. They're so accurate in the statements they're making that I thought was just to be encountering that tension and then the added level of the uncomfortable feeling of the just what's going on.
Yeah.
And also, like as you brought up, the comedic, I kind of looked at it as like a steam valve let off,
because absolutely.
And they actually mentioned in the extras where comedy and horror are very similar because you have to have the right pacing, the right timing. And a good horror movie will also, in my opinion, also have a fair amount of comedic element to it to kind of add a counterbalance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And definitely. This movie had a perfect pitch between those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like when you do get to meet like the parents, there's this kind of acute anxiety that's like right there with the way that the parents even talk. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to put your finger on, but it's so obvious that it's there. Some of the things that they say, but
had I known Bradley Whitford was in this movie, I didn't know until the opening credit crawl. But had I known, I would have watched this in the theaters because I love him being a weird dad. He was such a great actor for this role.
Right. And you're almost afraid of the next thing they're going to say.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. And something that I did a horror book discussion on Joe Hill way back a couple years ago with Jamie. And one thing she said was how the monsters in films tend to represent, like a greater societal or cultural unconscious. So I just thought it was like really interesting that they're creating this monster out of like this, white suburban family.
Yeah.
An extended family. Really interesting, like really conscious and, but yet still very harrowing as a monster or a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So as a villain, so.
Yeah, it's something you didn't know what to expect. What's the next horrible thing that someone's going to say? Is it going to be over the line? Like, it's a great script and it's great acting. I think what makes this movie soar is that a lot of the tension is how lines are delivered, whether it's seemingly just people being casual, just talking, or it's someone being a little weird, a little off. There's a lot of that in this movie. And if these actors couldn't pull it off, then the movie would have gone nowhere. There would be no tension. But this does a really good job of just making things feel weird while you watch it. And you're not exactly sure why. And you're not exactly sure how. And I think it's the ability of these actors to... Usually when actors act, they kind of, you know, bounce off each other. But in this movie, it's like they were told not to. Mm-hmm. They're like, be your own weird self. Don't use the same words. Don't use the same body language as the people around you. You've got to be unique and you've got to stand out. And the audience has to wonder, what's wrong with this person? Why are they acting like this? Why are they doing this? Mm-hmm. Why are they talking like this? And I think it delivered on that in a big way.
Big time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely something you have to see, because obviously we're skirting around a lot of, like, you know, yeah, there's so much you have to, like, kind of just experience. It's not the movie where you can just hear about. You kind of just have to go and see it.
Yeah, so we said there's a lot of surprises. We'll leave it at that. But the first half of the movie, it kind of gets right into it right away. There's a stinger at the beginning, of course, but it doesn't take – I thought it would take a lot longer trying to play up, hey, look, we're a normal family doing normal things and there's nothing underhanded at all. No, it comes right out with being weird. Like, things are weird from the moment he arrives on the estate, kind of. Like, you don't know what or why yet, but you just know that something's weird, something's off. I really like some of the design, even though it was just like, it seemed like a producer's house, like that they just used for a month or something like that. I'm not sure. They just kind of got that one apartment set and then this big house. When we watched the movie, my wife commented right away, like, that house doesn't look right. That's a weird design for a house. And I'm like, oh, something's going on here. We got a little bit of The Shining happening here where architecture doesn't seem right. You know, did they find something a little unique for this? So I like that, again, like right from the beginning. Something doesn't feel right. Maybe it wasn't the house, but maybe she was latching on to some other energy presented in the movie. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and definitely the title itself is almost a, you know, what perhaps thousands or millions of people have yelled at horror screens over the years.
Sure.
Of Get Out.
Yeah.
And it shows that they're aware that in the past people have done stupid things in horror films. And I went into it with a fair amount of confidence, and I was rewarded by that, of knowing that the protagonist would not do stupid things.
Right.
And his actions were very believable. His decisions were entirely, you could track them with logic.
Yeah.
And it's just, you really can't take much apart in this movie at all. I thought it was very clean. And one of those where the more you think about it, the more things click into place for you. And beyond just being a frightening film, it's perhaps more frightening for what it says about our society. And it really made me think a lot about that, obviously. But perhaps that's part of my squirm. I don't know. But
yeah, for sure. I mean, let's be frank with it. There is a theme of racism in this movie. We don't really know how to address it. We're a little uncomfortable talking about it. But I think that's the point. Like, we should be a little uncomfortable talking about what happened in this movie. And I think that was the point from the beginning, was let's set things up that are a little bizarre. But in a way, you can understand. You can understand how being some girl's dad is intimidating. We all understand that. Now, what if you add this element of race to it? How does it change? How does it stay the same? Like, I think it was perfectly weaved into the movie, this theme of racism, about him feeling out of place, which, of course, he feels out of place. He's the protagonist in a horror movie, you know. You know, things are going to be bad for you. But is it because of his race and their race, or is it because there's something else going on? You know, that was kind of one of the ways you said, you know, things were very believable. Like, he had a lot of anxiety about being in that house, and we're led to believe it's because of his race, and that's completely believable. Maybe that wasn't why he was anxious. Maybe there's more things going on, as the movie reveals, but I thought it was, like Tony said, kind of part of the monster. It was something you couldn't quite place, couldn't quite understand, couldn't quite see in the movie, but it was definitely there. Catherine Keener's in the movie. She was fantastic. A little on the nose for me, because she comes from another movie with a lot of the same themes, but she was great as the mom. She's a little creepy. She's the first one to get a little creepy, I think.
She never was uncreepy.
Yeah. You think so?
It's just from the first moment. So that's how I felt.
Stephen Root, a lot of names. I had no idea these people were in this movie. Mm-hmm. Bradley Whitford, Catherine Keener, Stephen Root. I learned all of this watching the credits at the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's got a small role, but he's great at it, as always. He's a quirky guy with some physical, I don't know how you'd put it, eccentricities.
Idiosyncrasies.
Idiosyncrasies, that's the word, yeah. I can't imagine where I go back with this guy. Is it Office Space? Is it King of the Hill? Is it Idiocracy? Like... Mm-hmm. I've seen him in so many weird roles that I can't get enough of him playing another weird role in a weird movie. Okay, so that's Get Out. Get Out is a horror film. Look for it in the horror section or look for it in the quick picks downstairs on the first floor. Next, we're going to talk about Moonlight. Moonlight turns out, is the Oscar winner. If that joke isn't played yet, I'll make it yet again. It was not La La Land. It was Moonlight. So, guys, what do you think of Moonlight?
I enjoyed it extremely. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it like that, but it was really, I could definitely see why it garnered a lot of interest for Best Picture. It's a very, even though it's a portrayal of a boy growing up in Miami, an African-American gay boy growing up in Miami. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of universal aspects and a lot of things that everybody encounters mm-hmm. and goes through. And it really delved into identity and not only finding who you are, but also finding yourself within your society mm-hmm. and just on top of growing up
mm-hmm. right.
and adolescence. And I thought it was an incredible movie. Mm-hmm. And it just as much as it really came from inside the character's head yeah. outward to the world mm-hmm. where we were just discussing Get Out, and that seemed to have more of an outward looking in
sure.
kind of aspect. Moonlight was almost the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And to dovetail off of what you were saying, like one of the universal themes of this too was just like, I think it's interesting that they comment on the third act about like the fronts that he wears, which are mm-hmm. these golden plate teeth. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this idea that like masculinity is going to cover up kind of some kind of loneliness or some kind of like longing for connection, you know?
Right.
Because that's what he had throughout this film, was like a longing for connection and being chased away from things. I mean, the opening scene, I think, is Chiron Little being mm-hmm. chased into an abandoned hotel or something.
Right.
And yeah, I think they just paint this incredible picture that I wouldn't really have known it just from watching the first two acts. You have to have, you know, once you get to kind of the realization of kind of who he becomes mm-hmm. and how he's still figuring himself out, it's just such a personal journey and like you were saying, like finding your place in the world around you.
Towards the end, he's still not sure exactly of what is going on, but it's, like you said, it's the whole journey to that point. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of the whole film.
Yeah. I was going to say the extremely touching moments where he's learning to swim with Juan at the shoreline. It's like, I always say it's a great symbol for the rest of the film in a way, because it's something that's fleeting and it doesn't persist. Mm-hmm. And it's where they get the title of the film from, mm-hmm. the poetry that he recites. But it's also, it's those moments, I think, that help define him throughout the whole thing. Like, you know, when people were giving him names versus when he chose his own name or, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know. There's a lot to talk about in a sense that, like, you can relate to this movie. Like, I think anyone can relate to this movie.
Absolutely.
It's just such a strong narrative that pulls you in.
So for those who don't know, it's kind of three acts, three different time periods. You've got him when he's young, a young boy, kind of on the streets trying to get by. Then you've got teenage, and then you've got young adult, right? How did you feel that those played? You know, was there a consistent narrative between the three, or was it just like three separate movies? How did you feel about that?
I felt that they were at the same equal length. So there wasn't an undue focus on right. any one of the. So they were meant to be taken in totality.
Yeah.
And they also reflected his names that he was given. He mm-hmm. was given the nickname of Little. Mm-hmm. And then the middle one is his name, Chiron. And mm-hmm. then the third one is another name he was given, mm-hmm. Black. And it really, there is continuity in those three different phases, because he's encountering feeling alienated from other people and also from his true self in all three phases. And they were, from what I understand, they weren't introduced to each other. They didn't interact with each other, the three actors.
Oh, I didn't know.
Who played the character. So they...
They didn't share any notes or anything like that. Very interesting.
But I'm sure they were coached to, mm-hmm. okay,
of course,
this is what you're portraying, obviously. Mm-hmm. It was really, really interesting to watch that. Sometimes it's jarring when you're watching a movie with a young actor and then poof, they're an adult. Mm-hmm. and it's hard to translate what you learned and what you expected from this young actor and put it into this older actor, but these guys carried it through, I thought.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the largest transformation was kind of in between his like teenage high school phase to his like young adult 20-something probably phase, just because he makes the decision that he, and because he spends time, you know, in jail, that he makes the decision to become kind of buff and just work out and just kind of have this more kind of ferocious exterior. I mean, he's almost like a, you know, he's just built, you know. And I think it's jarring as a viewer, but at the same time, as soon as he begins interacting with the various people in his life, his mother, you see the same vulnerability. You see, you know, and the same like longing for that connection and everything. It takes very little time to get to fall back in to be, oh, yes, this is.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with the style of the movie. There's a lot of symphonic soundscape where all other sound recedes, and it's just, it's another aspect of taking you inside the head of the character. But there's also juxtaposition of camera angles and sound. And if he's encountering his mother, who is on a high, or come crashing off of it, actually, and it represents her showing her talking when she's not talking as to, like, emphasize the disconnect. Just what's going on in her brain and what he's feeling. He's feeling like he doesn't know how to navigate. He's possibly used to it, but he's never sure of where she's going to go next.
He's numb to that. He's probably numb to that over because in the scene that you think you're talking about, she was yelling at him, and I think he was numb to it at that point. And, and they just muted the audio of her voice.
Well, there's another part where, and she's asking him for the keys to get back into the house. So it carries on. But those two that we just mentioned, one is in the beginning and the next one is in the second one. So there's a stylistic continuity. I think they just helped smooth that over, those transitions.
I think the one thing that brings me back to is just the almost absent father, absent mother, but surrogate father and surrogate mother.
Oh, absolutely.
And those being, you know, finding his personal mentorship or personal connections where he can.
And hugely imperfect.
Yes.
Too.
These were people that were trying hard, but they also had their...
Yeah, who they were.
Conflict with him and maybe created his problems. And
Some terrific scenes involved with that. Mahershala Ali, he was the best supporting actor for the Oscars. I'm not sure. He was in the two films. He was in Hidden Figures and this one during the awards season, as well as...
He was in Luke Cage, the TV series.
Oh, right. Yeah. As well as Janelle Monáe was in Hidden Figures as well.
She did a really good job in this movie, too.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah.
Very small part, but did a great job. But it really kind of struck to me, like, if you like watching movies, you know, this is a reason why you like watching movies. This movie makes you enjoy just watching movies in general. I mean, if you enjoy watching a story on screen, this is a great story to watch. Done very well, too. The camera angles and the opening scene with the swirl camera around to try to have a conversation going on, and it just goes 360, right? It was very impressive.
Yeah.
And then throughout the rest of the movie, whenever they have a conversation, the camera angle is almost inserted in between people talking. So you never see two people talking together. You just see, you know, the view of the one face and the other. And the camera's right in between the two people. I thought that was effective.
Yeah, and the lighting in the scenes with the mother was also off. And it was eerie. And when you had feelings of anxiety about when he was going to go meet Kevin after not seeing him or speaking to him for, you know, 7 years or so, there was also this great shot where, like, you couldn't really see what Kevin was doing with his hands. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a cook. You know, what are you cooking? And it's like, well, they, you know, he goes, sees him, and he eats at a diner. You know, it's like there's some anxiety about what he's doing. But then the colors warm up as soon as you get to that diner and everything is fine. You know, they do an amazing job of just each scene. Yeah.
When there's also the camera juxtaposition of between the camera and the sound when he meets Kevin at the diner.
Right.
And you can imagine how nervous he would be at that moment. I thought that reflected it greatly. You know, always remember things exactly as they happen. You just kind of remember images.
Sure. And another relatable moment, right? Going to see someone you haven't seen in 7 years, like we've all been there, that probably just jumped right off the screen. And the colors changing is how it feels inside, right? Like at first you're a little cold, you're not sure, maybe I'm nervous. And then if you're friends with them and things lighten up, like literally, and then in this case, they literally lighten up.
Yeah, and even very visceral with the choosing to, like, offer him wine, and, you know, even though he's like, oh, no, I don't drink, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're having wine. You came all this way.
And another great part about it is the sea breeze that
it
shows up in a lot of the positive moments of the character. Mm-hmm. There's almost always, like, the ocean. The ocean is in a couple different scenes, but the breeze comes through, and you can hear it, especially towards the end. It's just, I thought that was very effective as well. It's kind mm-hmm. of a good metaphor.
Still yeah. swimming. Like, he's yeah. taught how to survive in a hostile environment, and
right.
you're reminded of that throughout the film, that he's kind of still swimming, still trying to stay afloat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's high praise for Moonlight. Joel, I think that's probably about the best I've ever heard you recommend a movie that. If you like watching movies, you should watch this movie. I don't think I've heard high praise like that for any movie from you before like that.
Well, it's just, it's how confident and how well made of a movie it is.
Excellent. Okay. So that's Get Out and Moonlight. Those are both highly recommended movies that you can probably get today on the shelf at Des Plaines Public Library, or maybe your local library, wherever you are. If you're not into those, like the other Oscar movies are showing up on the shelf. And we've got, there's action movies, there's sci-fi movies, there's drama movies that are all on the Oscars list. No comedy movies this year, I think, but yeah, it's most years at the Oscars.
That's just for the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Get Out being a horror movie, it didn't get a Oscar nomination for Best Picture, but I think it's pretty good, and it is available now. A lot of buzz about this movie. I'm really excited to see what happens next for Jordan Peele. Otherwise, that's it for the Pint and Click podcast. See you all next time.